a shard of glass. Him? Lemke? Him, Janelli agreed. Now, let me get a shower, William. I must not be as young as I thought. All this excitement has got my ass dragging. He called back over his shoulder. And order some coffee, lots of coffee. Tell the guy to just leave it outside the door and slide the check underneath for you to sign. Billy watched him go, his mouth hanging open. Then, when he heard the shower start, he closed his mouth with a snap and went to the phone to order the coffee. He spoke at first in quick bursts, falling silent for a few moments after each to consider what came next. Janelli's energy seemed really low for the first time since he had turned up at the Bar Harbor Motor Inn on Monday afternoon. He did not seem much hurt. His wounds were really only deep scratches, but Billy believed he was badly shaken. All the same, that crazy glow eventually began to dawn in his eyes again. At first, stuttering on and off like a neon sign just after you turn the switch at dusk, then glowing steadily. He pulled a flask from the inside pocket of his jacket and dumped a capful of Chivas into his coffee. He offered Billy the flask. Billy declined. He didn't know what the booze might do to his heart. Janelli sat up straighter, brushed the hair off his forehead, and began to talk in a more normal rhythm. At 3 o'clock on Tuesday morning, Janelli had parked on a woods road which branched off from Route 37A near the gypsies' camp. He fiddled with the stakes for a while and then walked back to the highway carrying the shopping bag. High clouds were sliding across the half-moon like shutters. He waited for them to clear off, and when they did for a moment, he was able to spot the circle of vehicles. He crossed the road and set off cross-country in that direction. "I'm a city boy, but my sense of direction ain't as bad as it could be," he said. "I can trust it in a pinch, and I didn't want to go in the same way you did, William." He cut through a couple of fields and a thin copse of woods, splashed through one boggy place that smelled, he said, like 20 pounds of shit in a 10-pound bag. He also caught the seat of his pants in some very old barbed wire that had been all but invisible in the moonless dark. "If all that is country living, William, the rubes can have it," he said. He had not expected any trouble from the camp hounds. Billy was a case in point. They hadn't bothered to make a sound until he actually stepped into the circle of the campfire, although they surely must have caught his scent before then. "You'd expect gypsies to have better watchdogs than that," Billy commented. "At least, that's the image." "Nah," Janelli said. "People can find all kinds of reasons to roust gypsies without the gyps themselves giving them more."
"Like dogs that bark all night long?"
"Yeah, like that. You get much smarter, William, and people are going to think you're Italian."
Still, Janelli had taken no chances. He moved slowly along the backs of the parked vehicles, skipping the vans and campers where people would be sleeping, and only looking in the cars and station wagons. He saw what he wanted after checking only two or three vehicles: an old suit coat crumpled up on the seat of a Pontiac station wagon.
"Car wasn't locked," he said. "Jacket wasn't a bad fit, but it smelled like a weasel died in each pocket. I seen a pair of old sneakers on the floor in the back. They was a little tight, but I crammed them on just the same. 2 cars later, I found a hat that looked like something left over from a kidney transplant and put that on."
He had wanted to smell like one of the gypsies, Janelli explained, but not just as insurance against a bunch of worthless mutts sleeping by the embers of the campfire. It was the other bunch of dogs that interested him, the valuable dogs, the pit bulls. 3/4 of the way around the circle, he spotted a camper with a small rear window that had been covered with wire mesh instead of glass. He peered in and saw nothing at all. The back of the camper was completely bare.
"But it smelled of dog, William," Janelli said. "Then I looked the other way and risked a quick poke on the penlight I brought.
The hay grass was all broken down in a path going away from the back of that camper. You didn't have to be Daniel Boone to see it. They took the fucking dogs out of the rolling kennel and stashed them somewhere else so the local dog warden or Humane Society babe wouldn't find them if someone blabbed. Only they left a path even a city boy could pick up with one quick poke of his flashlight. Stupid. That's when I really started to believe we could put some blocks to them. Ginelli followed the path over a knoll and to the edge of another small wooded area. I lost the path, he said. I just stood there for a minute or two, wondering what to do next. And then I heard it, William. I heard it loud and clear. Sometimes the gods give you a break. What did you hear? A dog farting, Ginelli said. Good and loud. Sounded like someone blowing a trumpet with a mute on it. Less than 20 feet into the woods, he had found a rough corral in a clearing. It was no more than a circle of thick branches driven into the ground and then laced up with barbed wire. Inside were 7 pit bulls. 5 were fast asleep. The other 2 were looking dopily at Ginelli. They looked dopey because they were dopey. I thought they'd be stoned, although it wasn't safe to count on it. Once you train dogs to fight, they become a pain in the ass. They will fight with each other and wreck your investment unless you're careful. You either put them in separate cages or you dope them. Dope is cheaper and it's easy to hide. And if they had been straight, a rinky-dink piece of work like that dog corral wouldn't have held them. The ones getting their asses chewed would have busted out even if it meant leaving half their hides hanging on the wires behind them. They were only sobering them up when the betting line got heavy enough to justify the risk. First the dope, then the show, then more dope. Ginelli laughed. See? Pit bulls are just like fucking rock stars. It wears them out quick, but as long as you stay in the black, you can always find more pit bulls. They didn't even have a guard. Ginelli opened his shopping bag and took out the stakes. After parking on the woods road, he had taken them out of their store shrink wrap and injected a hypo of what he called Ginelli's Pit Bull Cocktail into each, a mixture of Mexican brown heroin and strychnine. Now he waved them in the air and watched the sleeping dogs come slowly to life. One of them uttered a thick bark that sounded like the snore of a man with serious nasal problems. "Shut up or no dinner," Ginelli said mildly. The dog that had barked sat down. It immediately developed a fairly serious starboard list and began to go back to sleep. Ginelli tossed one of the stakes into the enclosure. A second, a third, and the last. The dogs squabbled over